Chapter 5. The Root Canals of Archie Jones and Samad Iqbal. Samad and Archie's root canals were very deep. You had to go back, back, back to understand them properly. Back to the 1st of April 1945, and Archie at 17 years old, clean and pink-faced. Back to Samad, 2 years older, and the colour of baked bread. Back to the day when they sat in an army tank wearing the same uniform and black boots. Archie had kept staring at Samad, and after a week of this, Samad could not be patient anymore. "My friend, what is it that you find so interesting about me?" he demanded angrily. "You what?" Archie replied. Then he shrugged. "Nothing. I mean, well, what do you mean?" "I mean that we probably have another 2 years together in this tank," replied Samad, "and I don't want you staring at me for all of it." Their captain immediately told them to be quiet.
"Iqbal? Jones? Get on with your work. Do you see anyone else here chatting?"
"I just want Jones to stop staring at me," replied Samad, hating the way that the captain pronounced his name. "I should not be here. I am educated and trained. I should be flying planes. I should be a captain. My great-grandfather, Mangal Pandey, fired the first bullet in the Indian Mutiny of 1857. He looked around to see if anyone recognised the name, but they just stared at him dully because they had heard this story many times before. "If it wasn't for some stupid Indian soldier shooting a bullet through my wrist by accident," he continued, holding up his right hand, which had been shot through during his time in the Indian Army, "I wouldn't be here fighting a stupid war for a country that isn't mine." Their journey through Greece to Bulgaria was a long and tiring one, and they did not see any fighting. Their job was to help the British Army by making bridges and opening up roads that had become damaged. Then, at about 6 p.m, on the 6th of May, 1945, there was a small fire inside the tank, and it came to a stop. They were in a small Bulgarian village near the border with Greece and Turkey.
"Right," said their captain, after looking at the engine. "We can't fix this, so we're going to have to radio for help and then wait until it arrives. Nothing we can do for the moment."
"How long will it take?" asked one of the soldiers.
"A day or more," replied the captain. "There's no one near us."
"Do we have to stay in this tank for 24 hours? asked Samad.
"No," said the captain. "I think you should be able to walk around a bit. You and Jones go, and when you come back, the rest of us will go."
So Samad and Archie went to the village and spent 3 hours drinking wine and listening to the cafe owner telling stories about a young doctor called Dr. Marc Pierre Perret, who had come to the village. He had worked as a scientist for the Nazis on the death programme. He was hiding somewhere around the village, the cafe owner said, but he did not know where. When Archie and Samad got back to the tank, they found the captain and the other two soldiers dead. All three men had been shot in the back of the head. One of the soldiers' glasses had been stolen, and the radio had been broken.
"This is a very bad business," said Samad, picking up the radio.
"We have no tank, and we cannot communicate with anyone. We have also lost our captain." At the same moment that Archie and Samad were staring at the dead men, Colonel Yodel sat in a small schoolhouse in France and signed a document that ended the war in Europe. But it would be a whole 2 weeks before Archie or Samad got to hear about it. A few days later, and still no help had arrived, the pretty relaxed village began to pull at Archie and Samad, and slowly they began to live like normal men rather than soldiers. Each evening, they ate dinner in the cafe. Soup cost them 5 cigarettes each. Fish cost them a medal,
taken from their captain's uniform, which Archie was now wearing. They used the other medals to buy coffee, soap, and chocolate. After dinner, they would pretend to be looking for the killers, but would actually be looking at pretty women through windows, or sitting and smoking cigarettes next to the tank as the sky slowly turned red. They talked about their past lives as a newspaper boy, Archie, and a biology student, Samad. The villagers knew that the war had ended, but they were enjoying the men's cigarettes and medals, so they decided not to tell Archie and Samad about it. In England and Bangladesh, both families thought their sons were dead. One afternoon, while Samad and Archie were trying to fix the radio, some village children came to play around the tank.
"Mr. Soldier," one of them called. "Bubblegum, please. Thank you."
Archie reached into his pocket and pulled out 5 pieces of pink bubblegum. The boy took it and gave it to his friends, who all put it in their mouths. Then they stood watching the two men silently for a few minutes before the first boy approached them again.
"Mr. Soldier," he said, "bubblegum, please, thank you."
"No more," said Archie, putting up his hand. "I've got no more."
"Please,"
said the boy, and he held out his hand, which held 4 bits of green paper.
"Dollars, Mr. Soldier."
"Where did you get these?"
asked Samad, and he tried to take hold of the boy's hand, but the boy was too quick and pulled it back.
"First bubblegum, then dollars," said the boy.
But Samad moved quickly and caught the boy's shirt.
"Did you kill a man for this money?"
he asked. His face was red and he was breathing hard. He wanted to defend a country that was not his. Archie was amazed. Britain was his country, but he did not feel like Samad.
"No, mister, from him, him."
The boy pointed to a small house on the hillside.
"Did someone in that house kill our men?" asked Samad.
"He is doctor," said the boy. "He is there, but sick. Can't move. Doctor sick."
The two men stared at the house. Then Samad turned to Archie.
"Come on," he said. "This must be the man they spoke about in the village, Dr. Perret. It's time to have a real war."
They left the children at the tank and began moving towards the house with guns in their hands. Samad was in front. Archie walked nervously behind.
"Why?" Archie kept asking. "Because we need blood on our hands," Samad replied. "We have to make things right. We have been enjoying ourselves in the village and doing nothing. Well, now we must do something. Let me ask you, why was this war fought?"
"Don't talk rubbish," said Archie.
"So that in the future we may be free," continued Samad. "The question was always, what kind of a world do you want your children to grow up in? And we have done nothing."
When they entered the house, they found a young man sitting in an armchair in front of a fire. He was pale and very thin. He was not wearing a uniform, and he said nothing when they ran in with guns in their hands. Samad stopped and then moved forward.
"Are you Dr. Perret?" he asked.
The Frenchman dropped his head.
"Yes, I am him," he replied.
"Are you going to kill me, my friend?"
"I am not your friend."
Samad stayed very still. He could kill the man, and they both knew it. Then he lifted the gun and said,
"Walk."
The doctor came out of the house, and the two men followed him through the trees.
"Do you know who this man is, Jones?"
Samad asked, pushing the doctor forward.
"He is a scientist, but he has done terrible things in the war. He has chosen who will be born and who will die. He breeds people like they are chickens, but it cannot be done. Only Allah saves. I am not a religious man, but I know that is the truth."
"But you said that you didn't want to fight for a country that wasn't yours," replied Archie.
"It's England we're fighting for. You know, sausages, football and Sunday dinners. Those things are mine, not yours.
Of course, said Samad. So you must do it, Archie.
No way, replied Archie, and he stopped walking.
Look, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to die, but...
Then do it, shouted Samad. Do it and show me that you're a man, Jones. Or what will you tell your children when they ask who you are and what you are? Will you know? Will you ever know?
Samad pushed Perret into Archie's arms.
You, Archie shouted at the doctor. You're coming with me.
Samad waited in the trees. 5 minutes later, he heard a shot. Then Archie returned. He was walking with difficulty, blood running down his thigh from where a bullet had entered. He looked very young, and his face was as bright as a baby's when it first enters life.
This story will keep us friends for the next 40 years, said Samad.